SBS Audio is supported by advertising.
You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
It is your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap for this Thursday, the 29th of October, 2024. The Australian share market rose today by 0.3%. We'll have the details with Mathan Somasundaram from Deep Data Analytics in a few moments. But first to home prices, which have hit records according to property group Domain. National median house is now worth $1.155 million across the capitals and $662,000 across the units. But growth is slowing. With more, here's Nicola Powell from Domain.
We continue to see house and unit prices rise, but one of the most pronounced things we've seen this quarter is a slowdown in the rate of growth. Well, that means prices are rising, they're just not rising as fast as what they were. And we've seen that slowdown is much more pronounced for house prices compared to unit prices. And I think that says a lot about affordability steering demand towards more affordable property types, such as units. And it's been quite interesting, even across the different capital cities, we've seen pretty much a deceleration of most capital cities in terms of their pace of growth. Apart from units in Sydney and Melbourne, we saw a re-acceleration of unit growth coming out of Sydney and Melbourne. And I think that really showcases the affordability barriers, particularly in our highest priced capital cities. It's very clear that we do have a slowdown in price growth across our housing markets. We do have a bit of a multi-speed market, and we do still have some really strong capital cities, so such as Perth, Brisbane and Adelaide. I think we have to remember we have seen stage three tax cuts come through, which is the equivalent of a 50 basis point reduction in the cash rate in terms of aggregate household cash flow. I think that in itself is helping to improve borrowing capacities, but I think we're in this realm now where buyers are sitting on the sidelines. We've ultimately got a bit of a build-up of choice, a build-up of listings across most of our capital cities. And I think we've got buyers sitting on the sidelines waiting to see the outcome and waiting to see the RBA actually reduce the cash rate. That's unlikely to happen until sometime in the early part of next year. I think what we've got, though, is choice. Choice is rising. Buyers are using that greater choice to negotiate on price. It's slightly different depending upon the cities. So, for example, Perth, Brisbane and Adelaide still has overall supply really contained compared to what we would normally see this time of year. But that increase in supply, particularly in Melbourne, in Sydney, is really slowing down the rate of price growth. And I think buyers are utilising that to negotiate on price.
That is Nicola Powell there from Domain.
Now, Market Day on the SBS On The Money podcast.
The Australian share market rose today by 0.3% on the S&P ASX 200. That's at 8,249, with the details including one of a mega expansion at Myer. I spoke with Mathan Somasundaram, Deep Data Analytics CEO.
I think we're in a bit of a holding pattern. The main drivers for the market going up is banks and miners, and that usually tells you it's the global investors holding the market. Because outside the big caps, mid caps, small caps, they're all pretty much flat. So it's really the global guys playing. There's a lot of macro to play out. Everything from global macro to US reporting season. There's a fair bit coming out in the next week. So it's in a holding pattern.
Okay, so let's talk about some of those macro events, particularly these world events. We've got Chinese stimulus. We've got the tensions in the Middle East, the upcoming US election, those earnings reports out of the US, which you mentioned. Which do you think are looking like they'll have the biggest influence on the share market and why?
I think you kind of have to look at each of them compared to what the market expects. That's where the shock will come from. The market is pretty much pricing in a specific outcome for each event. I think the geopolitics with the war in Middle East, I think that's pretty much a non-event for the market because we all know it's going to expand. We all know it's going to extend and it's a mess. And I don't think that's going to go away anytime soon. So I don't see that as a huge risk. And I think the retaliation by Israel for Iran shows that even they don't want to go into a big, massive war. They prefer to keep it going as they are. So I don't think the market's going to worry about that. I think the results are going to be interesting because the multiples are back to, if you look at the global market multiples, we are where we were when rates were zero, and we had endless stimulus running through post-pandemic. That's the only time in history we've been around these multiples. So in context, I don't expect, I mean, think of it this way, US beats 80 to 90% probability. So every number always beats. Now the question is, how good is the beat? The techs will have to beat quite a bit. But look, the techs have bounced back despite downgrading multiple times. Like all the major techs downgraded, and yet they've bounced back. So even that, I don't think is going to be a huge risk to the market. I think, yeah, we might pull back and then come back up. So I think that's still also relatively not as important. I think the election is going to be massive. I think that's going to be a substantial play. I think where we are in the cycle, I don't think the market is pricing in what the policy outcomes are. I mean, we've already seen it in the context that the Fed cut 50 basis points. That's an emergency rate cut, right? History tells you once you cut like that, they've never been able to deliver a soft landing. So they did that. And then the bond yields went up 70 basis points. So again, this is something that has never happened before. So what's that telling you is the policy outcomes are expected to be reflationary. So inflation is going to go up. And the bond market is moving ahead of it. And the equity market doesn't want to accept that. So at some point, one of them is wrong. And for me, if you look at the long-term trends, bond market is good at pricing in risk, equity markets are good at pricing in growth. So I think the equity markets need to pay attention when you have this high multiple. So that's going to be the interesting one. I mean, we're a week away, week and a bit away from the election. And what comes after that is going to be interesting because whoever wins, the odds are you might not get both houses. So if you get one side, the other side is going to block it. And there will be some serious spending that's going to come through, and that's going to be inflationary. So that's what the bond market is telling you.
Okay, let's focus a bit on Australia if we can at the moment. I want to get your take on the retail space because yesterday Mosaic Brands fell into voluntary administration, yet it's seeking to, I guess, divest some of its brands. Today, though, Myer added some labels from Premier Investments. So what's your take? What's happening here?
Yeah, it's a never-ending dating game between Solly Lew and Myer, and that saga is writing another chapter. I think Myer has been a broken model for a long time. They were buying time. They need to have brands to get people in. Can that be sustained? I'm not so sure. I think the online model is so good that Myer could have new brands, and then you can sustain a substantial online business model, and that can work. I mean, I didn't think someone like a shaver shop could survive post-pandemic, and they've proven that you can do an online model and have small shops and actually deliver quite well. So in that context, that is probably a template for them. Solly Lew is a smart operator. He is building an empire without building an empire. He's got pieces of pies everywhere, and this is another piece of the pie. So you don't want to go against him, and he's done the smart deal again. And one thing I have learned with retail, I guess, machines in Australia is the guys who own those businesses, they make money. So Solly's doing well.
The other story, BlueScope today, on track for one of its worst one-day falls in about 2 years. It follows a profit warning because of what it says is lackluster global steel markets. Is this indicative of the global economy?
Yeah, I mean, steel is the I guess a commodity that is underlying the whole global growth construction cycle play around the world. And we've seen that with China. China is churning out steel to a fair bit that the demand globally isn't just not there to absorb it. We've seen tariffs come in to block China from putting out cheap steel into the global market. So that kind of told us where the steel market is. We've had 2 years of stimulus stories out of China that everyone says they're going to be, what they call it, the stimulus bazooka is coming. I'm not a buyer of that because at the end of the day, they went through 3.5 year pain to deflate their property market. They're not going to pump it up for just to hold it up for a bit. So in that context, the steel cycle is struggling. I think the steel ETFs are starting to roll over. BlueScope, Sims Metal, another one in our market. They're not hugely different. They're going to be affected by this thematic. And I think that's a clear indication of slowing global growth.
And finally, given that you're saying that The US election, right, will be major for markets. Where do you see the opportunities for investors at the moment then?
I think you have to go with the trend. The trend is the most likely outcome, irrespective of whoever wins, is going to be more debt and probably high inflation. Then you have to look at inflationary sectors. And there's a reason why gold is hitting all-time high on a weekly basis. I think gold remains pretty well supported. In Aussie dollar terms, spot gold is at all-time high again last night. And that will be paying off most gold miners, Aussie gold miner debt pretty quickly. Those businesses are going to look quite attractive. The other one is food. At the end of the day, food prices are rising, despite all the inflation's coming down stories. Food prices are still substantially higher. Most food stocks are doing quite well. Agri sector is doing well. Regional sector is doing well. So we like that exposure as well. And the other one that everyone hates at the moment is energy. I think energy is a pretty good buy here because everyone hates it. And at the end of the day, US has been dumping oil to keep oil price down for a long time for the inflation number to be weak into the election. Their strategic reserves are 40-year lows. At some point, they will have to rebuild that. And when they do that in this kind of weak market, oil price will bounce. So I'm more than happy to sit on energy sector.
That's Mathan Somasundaram there from Deep Data Analytics.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.